Okay, Kuf Chafav, we're going to take a quick tour of Hilchus Hagala. Asif Beis. Last week he spoke about things that are Beleya cold, Kavush and the like. An interesting question this week. Someone asked me if there's anything wrong lechatchila with storing milk in a fleishige container for a while. Not for kavush, but for a while. So I told him, storing milk in a fleishige container? So he pointed out to me, it says in Siman Tzadik Aleph, that you're allowed to put raw meat and cheese in the same bag, unwrapped, because it's the derech to rinse off raw meat before using it. So he has the derech to rinse off, and not chayshish that you won't rinse off. So he told me the same thing should be true about a utensil. The derech is to rinse it off before you use it. So if you put in cold milk into a utensil, it shouldn't be a problem. Derech to rinse it off. Yeah, that's what I told him. I told him a woman would never ask the shayla. Interesting question. I don't know. Maybe he's right. Anyway, Sif Beis goes from cold to hot.
Let's say you had chicken milk for 24 hours.
It's kavush.
Does the keli come right away, or need the 24 hours of the iser to go into the
keli? It's a good question. If you have,
is it just it creates heat, so it's therefore it's 24 hours?
Well, it's by leia. 24 hours is not heat. It's 24 hours by layer of the liquid. So the question would be, even let's say,
alright,
let's say I have a piece of meat in a pot and it is water. It's filled with water over the meat and it's all cold. So does the milk, does the kavush cause the meat to be by layer and the keli, or just the liquid to be by layer and the keli?
The meat is
that's only a question of napanat by kavush.
The meat is
but what Chaim is saying, what happens if the meat is covered with milk in a pot? So after 23 hours and 59 minutes, just spill it out and you rinse off the meat, assuming they're not becoming the meat, and everything's mutter. So in the 24th hour, is it belayah just the milk?
Milk,
it's a fascinating question. The milk is belayah to the kli and the meat is belayah to the milk. Is the meat belayah to the milk? And then the new blia of meat in the milk,
yeah, what
should need to do 24 hours because the meat wasn't kavush.
Does it need to be 24 hours?
Shaila, what?
In other words,
what?
First it has to become osur, then it has to be
so maybe we need 48 hours.
Yeah.
I like the shaila, I don't know. It happened? He's doing Yeridah? It's a very good question. Okay. Neder, I'll try to. Yeah, you need a Kabbalah. See, all these things, we don't know logically how they work. We have a Kabbalah that they work. I would look in the Hagdama, in the Prima Gadol's Hagdama. But, all right. Yeah, mark it down. Yeah.
So we don't know how it works. So how does the Ramon come and say, well, there's an exception?
The Gra brings a marker from a Gemara, so I guess. Otherwise, you're right. Okay, let's see Sif Beis. Sif Beis, we'll learn the Mechaber first. Mechaber here is telling us really, it's coming to tell us the halach in Hilchus Tfilas Kelim and Agolas Kelim. The question is, if you have a kli you buy from a guy, a used kli, you go to a flea market and you buy a used kli, so you have two obligations, to tovel it, because any kli you get from a guy has to be tovel, and to do agola, and to kasher it. What?
The other way around.
So the question is, which is first? Tfilah or agola? And logically, you do Hagolah first, because first you have to get the trefus out, and then you table it. Question is that order ma'akiv? So it is interesting. Let's see what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. Chlokach mehem kelim shenishtamshim bem b'chayin. You buy kelim that are used hot. Bein shem shal matchis. Oy shal eitz ay even. Whether they're made from metal, which could be kashin, stone, which could be kashin, a wood, which could be kashin, a stone, which could be kashin. Now I have to point out, stone could be kashin. This refers to a slab of stone. Like a granite countertop. A piece of granite could be kashin. If you take stone, you grind it, and you make something out of it, that's a klicheres. Any earthenware from which you make stone, which you make a kli by grinding it and mixing it with other things, that's klicheres. There's no difference if it comes from stone or earth. But if you take a slab of stone, that we have a Kabbalah, you could kashin. Right, if it's scratched out of stone, there'll be the same thing. As long as the stone is whole, you can do it. In the case of the granite countertops, the question is a question of mitzias. There's no question if you take a plain piece of granite and you make a countertop that you can kasher it. For Pesach, granite can be kashered. The problem is the sealant that they put on it, and they put a sealant in it so it shouldn't absorb water. They say that the sealant wears off after a period of time. It's supposed to be redone, which most people don't bother doing. The question is, at what point we can accept that the sealant isn't there? I don't know. The sealant, somebody brought me a container, seems to be a synthetic. It's made out of, what's it called? Silicon. Silicon, which I understand is a synthetic, which means that for all year round it could be kashered, because plastics or any synthetic, we said you could kasher all year round, but not for Pesach. And that's what causes the shaila, Pesach time, and the conflicting psakim, those who say you could kasher granite, those who say you cannot. It's not a machlaikis in the halacha of it, it's a machlaikis more in the mitzvah, in understanding the mitzvahs of it. Whether you could kasher. What?
Would resealing
it? You reseal it. Well, yeah, if the old was Beleia, resealing is not going to help you.
But it keeps out liquid.
But Bleas, because it keeps out liquid, we don't know that it keeps out Bleas.
But as far as kashering, also the problem.
As far as, well, if you can kasher the sealant, then it wouldn't be a problem. So whatever will come out now comes out later. Whatever doesn't come out now doesn't come out later. So. It's also a problem at the joint where two pieces of granite meet. They put something in between there, and whatever it is I was told that it's ground granite that's used to fill the cracks. That also may be an issue. So I don't know. I think who was it? Was it Yuchayim that brought me a letter about 10 years ago? What? You brought me the pieces. Okay. So with the can of silicon, I think. I don't know. With the Iruy, with the same Iruy Klimishin, just like Kibbalah Kapalta. All right, let's get back to the main topic here. The main topic here is not the Hagala, but what he says, Va'acha kach magilon, Va'acha kach matvilon. You do Hagala first, Tvila second, the Meshal Matchis. Obviously, if it's wood, you don't have to tivel it. If it's metal, you have to tivel it. V'hei mutarim. And then it's mutar. V'mitvilon, Va'acha kach higilon. What happens if you did the reverse order? Mutarim v'yeshayim v'shitzarach la'azol ha'tfilon. We have a machlekes rishayim. If somebody reversed the order and did the hagalah first,
what's the
svara? So the Be'er HaGoyle brings the have a ketevel v'sheretz v'yaday. That the Be'er HaGoyle on the top says the have a ketevel v'sheretz v'yaday.
So
what does tefillah have to do with hagalah? That's what you're saying. I understand the taina. It's a good taina. What's what you have to do with the other? It came into Kedushas Israel. So we'll see in a second the Shach and the Dagom Ravava. Let's just first the Ramah. Yesh Mekayim Shadogu. I'm sorry. No, this Ramah we'll wait for later. So you have a machlokes. You did tefillah first, Hagala second. What's the din? Is it Makir B'Dieved? So let's learn Shach Dalid. Shach Dalid. The Havlei Ketevel V'Sheres B'Yaday. Kosovo Teres Zav. Im lo yirtza l'shtamish by elatzayni. Let's say you buy something that could be used for hot or cold, a serving platter, let's say, and you're going to use it cold, not hot. So you don't have to tivel it. If you buy something that's used cold from a guy, you don't have to do agala. I mean, you have to tivel it, but you don't have to do agala. There's no problem. So if you're going to be mishtamish only tzaynin, yachala tvila, you'll mishtamish by tzaynin. You could tivel it and use it cold. When you change your mind, kshir tzach, kach lishtamish by chamin. Later you change your mind, you want to use it for hat. Yag ilenu v'yaspik loy tvila shen tvila kavar. Then you do agala. And the old tvila was good. Afilu man demachuch tvila shenis. Dishani hacha shem tchila loy yedaita lishtamish by alat tzaynin, alat tzaynin sagle bitvila. Incredible din that if a person changed his mind when he titled it was cold, and at the time it was a good enough tefillah. Later on, he changed his mind and he used it for chamin. See, even though bishas tefillah it had treifa blias in it, and normally bishas tefillah has treifa blias is no good. Since in his mind he did it behetera. Since b'shaitai, he did it behetera, therefore it's more. Now this is a klala de shas. I just want to mention, in shas we find numerous examples of things that if you do it behetera, and it changes, once you got in the window of heter, it's more. I just had a similar thing in Yevamis. The halacha is, if a woman falls to yibum, someone's brother dies without children, his wife falls to yibum, and subsequently, the living brother marries this woman's sister. He marries her sister. If he's married to her sister, he can't do evil. So he marries her sister. So the Gemara holds that yesh zika, that you can't marry your sister and knock yourself off of the yibum. So if there's another brother, Imram Lehamtein, we tell him you can't live with her. You have to wait. Tachias achicha maisa. Your brother will do Yibum or Chalitza, and then you'll be Mutata. So it says in the Gemara that if you marry the sister of your Yavama, that's not a Mahal, Taisa says. But if you married her before the brother died, then Kiva Shechnisa Behetera, so even though now it's the sister of Zukukasa, it's still the sister of the person who has Zika. But once you did a Beheter, so the Heter stays. If you did it b'shaita, b'heter, so then it stays. It's such an idea. What? There's no chiyav yibum. Yeah, Tysus even says more that if you're makadish, you can marry her after. Tysus says you don't live with her yet. That's Tysus kash. Tysus lashon. He could start to he could have a beer b'shaita afterwards. Even though it was only Makadish first, but it could be Machdis afterwards. Because it's exactly the same. Here also, really the tefillah is no good because to have treif oblius. But since you did it, you titled it at a time that you're allowed to use it, so that's good, even though, lady. Here it's worse or here it's better?
Here it's
they were talking about right. They were talking, what does tefillah do to the keli? If there's trade leaders and he's never going to come near them, tefillah helps. Because has the same keli.
Right, right.
The same excitement. So it's the same.
Right.
Now, later decided to say, you're making a sheep in your keli. It's your keli.
So you say, here it's more pashit.
Here it's more pashit.
You tell me there it's more pashit.
Okay.
All right. I mean, as an example, there's such a klal, and I'm not remembering the language. That, for example, by Kidra de Chaziri, it says that, or there's a shaila. But if there's somebody before the mitzvah shchita, Gemara says if he killed an animal before shchita, was mitzvah, and you had nevela. Which is nevela, but you b'shas nevela was a mitzvah, and then you have leftovers afterwards. So yes, yeah, says man the gemara. What's the lashon? Why is the lashon that since it was b'teira, so it's already once it's
a
b'teira.
We had
the same thing by fiasakum. If you're in a place with the minig is to be mekel, and then
right, but you bring it to another place.
So it's all the same. There was also
maybe the keli is also something different.
Oh, by a guy, you don't know if it's Vaday Tarfus? You see, most things that are had are Vaday because.
You don't know if it's Vaday.
I think you may be right about a serving platter or something, but most Kalim that are used for hat, I think we consider a Vaday that guy uses it for trade.
Didn't you learn that you can't use it for cold?
Excuse me? Some it's a derech to use pahat. It says that in Tzadik Aleph. It says ba'akroy it's mutter. But here, you're being kaveyet for kol. So if you're kaveyet for kol, then a pot, you're right. But a serving platter, that you could use a serving platter to the table, so then you could. The Dagom Ravava talks about that. But, all right, this is the Pesach of the Shach. The Pesachei Tshuva Gimel brings, Adalid brings the Tefillah L'Moshe, who argues with the Shach. In straight Svara, the Tefillah L'Moshe is more mustaver. But as far as the halacha is like the Shach against the Tefillah L'Moshe. So here we have a machlokes. The Dagom Ravava comes and basically makes this machlokes totally irrelevant in halacha L'Moshe. How does he do that? Let's see the Dagom Ravava on the side. Vagilon va'achakach batfilon nilay estaiti ulani estaiti ulani estaiti. The word nira is missing. Dem einon b'nei yaiman l'kuli alma shari latfiloi tchila shari enkat tevel v'sheretz b'yadai ki v'shena ben yaimi enkat shemissim. So he's saying that since midairaisa tetagamor. So what's the problem? If the kli is not a ben yaimai, so you could tevel it. Because there's no sheretz biyadai, and even midrabanan it doesn't ask the things. So therefore, he says he ketayvel it. This Dagom Ravava makes this whole thing not halacha l'maisa. Nobody buys b'nei yoyman kalim right. From Gayim, right. And by the time he asks a shayla, it's usually ahead of b'nei yoyman. What you do have to kasher it because the guys have yoyman to b'nei yoyman, but there's no table of sheretz biyadai. So halacha l'maisa. This is Dagom Ravava, makes this whole machlokes irrelevant. Yeah. Most people who call even with kitchen shaylos, 90% of the time, I tell them you have to kasher away 24 hours. They always say, oh, it's a week already since I got around to asking the shayla. So certainly, if you buy it, you buy it from a guy, stop kelim ain't b'nei yoyman. Certainly a kli that they're selling.
That's what I'm using, but I like that kli, I like the
boy. Okay. Right. Mendy has an imagination, but usually it's not. If you're going to see him using it with trefus sausages, you're not going to buy it either. But so at any rate, this makes the halacha not be so negeya.
Do you like that the Yeshomim holds that the Mishi is filled with this Louis Silch Tamshas?
But we generally,
okay.
I don't know. The Shach does say to tell without a bracha, but that's because the machlaik is. So, I don't know. There's a nice shtickel Torah here in the Arugas Habaisim. You should know that when you get to Parshas Matos, the Mitzvot Tfilas Kelim, there's a lot of Torah on the Shaila why they were commanded to Kasher and Tovel Kelim by Milchemes Midyan and not previously by Milchemes Sichon Va'ig. The first Milchama was Sichon Va'ig. Presumably they took booty there too. So why only in the second Milchama were they commanded? What? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, maybe there was no.
Those
were before Mount Tyra.
Those were the Kalim that couldn't.
So the Arugas Habaisim writes in his drushes that. What do you mean? In those days, Hilchis Tum and Taharu and Negea. So you went, you got a keli from a guy, of course you titled it. Yeah, to tell us it was Tamei, right? Stam Goyim, Atumeim. So you had to title the Kalim anyway. Not a Gzeiron Goyim. So the fact is that by Goyim, the Stam is like have Kalim Atumeim. They're not makbid on the different tumas that they have. Shrotim, even Mason, Magaisha Mason is Mitama Vimaga, Machlaik is Mitama Vail. Eliezer. So they titled the Kalim anyway. Now we learned already in the end of Hilchis Tefilas Kalim that you don't need Kavana for Tefilas Kalim, Hilchis Tefilas Kalim. Even a cotton or a guy who tivels or falls into a mikvah, it's kosher. So when they tivel from Tumat Tesahara, it was automatically a good tefila for Hilchas Tefilas Kelim as well, because you don't need kavana. So there was no tefilas kelim issue. He says, when did they have to be mitzvah and tefilas kelim? Later, by Hilchas Midyan, when they became commanded in Dine Hagala. Now he's not answering why they were commanded in Hagala later. He's answering why tefila later. Later commanded in Hagala. You have to do Hagala first and tefila second. So now when they were tevel it mitumasam, it's not good enough because they have to go do Hagala. So now they have to be commanded in tefilas kelim for Hagala and then tefila. So he's answering why tefila. He does explain why Hagala was only mitzvah later, but why tefila was only mitzvah later.
So okay, the second tefila. The right.
Okay. The let me just. Now let's first learn the Rama, and then I'd like to explain a little more. The Rama says, "Din kli etzem ayin hilchis pesach tufnun aleph, ein lahagol shum kli, calls a man shehu ben yoimai." I mentioned this to you last week. We don't do any agola at all. Calls a man that a keli is a ben yoimai. Ve'in l'shtamish b'mei hagola. Also, we don't use the water of the hagola. Any place that needs hagala, shaving off a layer doesn't help. And I'm sure I pronounced that word. Shalisser. It's talking about something which you use to take plank. Isn't that what you take the bread out of the oven? Radias hapas, right? You take the bread off. Miradeya, Marada, I don't know. Kidera, Mireda. Mireda shall Isser. So, Marada shall Isser. Okay. I never know how you know, but I'll take your word. Kidera, so Mireda, no? It should be the same structure as Kidera, Mireda. I don't know. Looks like the same word.
All right.
At any rate,
We use all the time.
So it's a good question. If we said you don't, you're magal and kalim that are not b'nei yayman, so why can't you use the water? So the Gra in Sifkat and Zayin says chumra ba'alma b'esavakam muter v'ein b'zeh mishum vatul lechetchila shem miskavim levatul. The Gra says that it's a chumra ba'alma. The Ikar Adin is that the water is muter, but the Maisa we don't want to.
For further agala,
could use it. Use it for more agala means not to use it for personal purposes. Now, just a couple of simple rules. The Eroi, there's Klirishin, and there's Eroi Klirishin. Klirishin is by Leia Bakulai. Eroi Klirishin is by Leia Kadei Klipa. A countertop, for example. Only a kadei klipa of the countertop is treif, because you don't cook on a countertop. Just sometimes you put hot food on a countertop. It's only aser kadei klipa. What the Rama said that shaving off a layer doesn't help is true in a klirishin, because it's balei bakulai. But let's say you have something that became also with the iri klirishin. So then shaving off the top klipa would help, because it's only balei a kadei klipa. So that's the rule. The Gra pretty much in Ches hints at this, and that's a halach. Now, there's also a nafkamini. Only nishishim kedegin a kedeg klipa, and not more. Now, what about a klicheres? As you know, we don't kasher klicheres. We have a Kabbalah that klicheres eini yaitzim midei daf yaloilam. If China is beileya, so the bliya doesn't go out of the China. And that's our understanding. The question which is always asked is about glazed china. Our china, all of it is glazed, it has a glazed finish. We had back in Hilchis Basar B'Chalav, maybe it was in Taruvis, we had a Yaivitz. It was mentioned on one of the Mefarshim of the column that Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Shita was that glazed things are smooth, they have a din of glass, and therefore they are not beleya. That was the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. That glazed things are smooth, glass is not beleya, according to many, and By chametz will machmir, but by shari surim it could be more meikel, and therefore the Bakavem did held that glass is not necessarily by light. Now, glazed china. So Yaakovin held that glazed china as a din of glass. I mentioned to you, I think, that Rav Palm once had a shaila with a newlywed yeshiva who asked the shaila about a china serving plate that his wife had put chicken, the davagush, straight from the oven onto the china serving plate.
It was a
milchika china. He had a set of milchika china. Must have gotten it as a gift. I don't know. And the serving plate was, I guess, a significant hefsid. And he had asked me, I said, yes, Rav Palm, I don't see a way out. You know, hot chicken on top of a piece of china. What are you going to do? And Rav Palm had told him to ask Rav Moshe Bick. Rav Moshe Bick, who was an einikel of Yaakov Emdin, and he told him that you could be meikel. Maybe he told him by 24 hours, I don't remember. But he said that you could be meikel, and people asked you, so why didn't Rav Palm just tell him to psak? I told him Rav Palm didn't hold that way. So why didn't he tell him to go to him? So, you know. The case was, I have to mention, he said, you daven by Rav Bick, better ask Rav Bick. And he didn't just send him to Rav Bick out of nowhere, but that's what he told him. What's interesting, though, is the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says a peladik hasidish. I would think for us, for me, we all glazed is not a heter, but it's a tziruf. If you have some of the you mitzarif the fact that it's glazed. It says in Simit Tafnun Aleph, Sif Chav Gimel, Kelei Cheres Hametzupin Behitoch Sruchis. If you have glazed china, Dinam Kekli Cheres. It doesn't have a din of Klei Sruchis. It has din of Cheres. Why? So on that, the Mishnah Berurah says in Kuf Lamed Zayin, listen to this. After Kosev HaMechaber, B'Siv Chavav, the Kli Schuchas Eine B'Leah Klal, even though the Mechaber holds that glass is not B'Leah at all, Hacha Kivon de Mechupa L'Acheres, V'Nitzraf Imoi B'Kivshon Bolatve. Somebody has to explain this. Harvey, we'll maybe find some research on this scientifically. What it's saying here is that glass has one mitzias that is not bileya, it's smooth. But if you put the glazing on china and you mitzarif oisei bekivshon, you harden it in a kivshon together with the kli cheres bolatve, it's more likely to be bileya, or it's more bileya.
So
the logic, of it, I don't really understand. But you know, in Kabbalah and the Kabbalah, it's not just the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah was same shot in the Mechaber. It's a Magen Avraham, I think. One second, that's good. Well, so this idea is a tremendous chumrah. Now you do have to bear in mind that the china today is made differently. Some of the china has a painted on glazing. It's not a baked on glazing, which on the one hand doesn't have this idea that it's baked. On the other hand, I'm not sure that it's glass. It may be some other material. So I'm not sure as far as tefilas kelim, it could be more kuladik. As far as hagolas kelim, it could be worse. It could be better, it could be worse. If it's gabi Pesach, we don't kasha synthetics. If it's a synthetic, so we wouldn't kasha it. And legabi shari surim, it's true that we could kasha it. Still worse than glass, which you say is not Belaya, but at least it has the option of kashering. So this is it's an important maramakim to know, and that the glazing may be worse. So that's regarding our klicheres. I don't think we have any, I shouldn't say we don't have any. There are some klicheres that are not glazed, but most of the klicheres we have is a glazed.
The top of the glaze, the other side. The top of the glaze,
the bottom.
The bottom
is not glazed on china? Anybody here own china? I don't have china, so I don't know.
What
is the glaze? China glazed on the bottom also?
When it's glazed.
Huh? It's glazed all around?
Yeah.
So you have cheap china. They have the...
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, now what's on the bottom of the glaze?
Well, if the glass is not Belea, it's not going to get to the bottom.
It's not Belea.
The glass, that's the thing. The Mechaber holds that glass is not Belea.
When they apply...
Is it the same quality glass as the glass plate?
That's our question.
When they
could have been. They weren't so ignorant.
Right under the glaze.
Like, I don't know.
I would think that when they apply the glaze, it's a liquid. It's a liquid form. And then they bake it together.
You're passing the mitzvah some magic.
Right.
Is it?
Sorry, that's. Then it might mix in with
might mix with the cheras.
The cheras a little bit, so it might
okay.
be like the
could be.
Like the glue that or
could be. All right, one more need I ceramic, are they glazed? I don't know.
But they absorb the coffee after a while. If you look at an
ceramic's gonna kill
them. Really? The glaze absorbs in the coffee?
Leave the coffee long enough in there.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay. All right, one more nidai, an important nidai. A large kli, a yaira gadaila. A very large kli, which you can't put into another kli in order to kasher. You have a yaira gadaila, a large pot, and you have no other pot big enough to put it into. This is a common thing where people have shilas and they have no way to. So you go Erev Pesach, they have these big cauldrons and you could kasher them. The question is, you have to kasher them, you don't have a big enough pot, what to do? So it's in Tuf Nun Beis involved. The Shulchan Aruch says there are two eitzes. Now listen carefully to both eitzes, because I'm a supik about one nafkamina between them. Eitzah number one, what's a shayla? I have to kasher, I have a pot. It was used for treif, so I want to kasher the pot. Ideally, I immerse it in a boiling water. I can't immerse it in a boiling water, I don't have a big enough pot. So eitzah number one is to build a rim around it. I also like gadanfa. Gadanfa is Aramaic for a rim. That means you take the pot and you build a rim above it. Now that rim can't be on the lip because the lip itself needs kashered. It's got to come from the outside. So you take tit, or you can use dough, except obviously not Pesach, but if all year round you take dough and you stick it to the side and you raise it so that you can put in boiling water that would cover the rim, and in that way, you'll kasher it. So that's option number one, is to build a rim around it, and that way, the boiling water will cover the rim. On the outside of the rim, you don't need, only on the inside of the rim, only on the tip of the rim. So that's what you need. No, 1 minute, let me finish. So that's one eitzah, that's good enough. You kasher it the way it's used is on the inside, and it goes over the edge occasionally, so here too. The second eitzah is that you put in boiling water, and when it's boiling, you throw in an Evan Meluban, a hot stone. Now, if you throw in a cold stone, it also causes it to overflow, but it cools the water. So you have to take a hot stone, you take a pair of pliers, and you throw it in. You don't have to use a stone. I told somebody you could take an old hammer and heat it up and throw it in, whatever you like. How hot it should be. It should be 212 degrees, I guess. It's Maluba means red hot, but logically it just has to be.
The problem is it goes a little bit into the boiling water, it's not everything's going to blow out because it's just going to be.
It's going to sizzle.
But it's not going to cool down the
water.
Well,
it depends how much water. If you have enough water, it's not all going to evaporate. It's going to. I don't think so. I think it's going to. I think the instant you put it in, it goes over, and I think it does a trick. So, you don't need red hot. You need, like I said, at least 212 degrees. Now, these are the two eitzes. The Mishnah Berurah says something. A torch. I want to tell you, we're going to learn Hilchos Libur. A torch has to remain focused on the spot until it gets red hot. When people take a torch and they kasher an oven by going back and forth along the torch, it doesn't do anything. You know, you can run your finger through it too. It's nothing. Heat takes a while to affect something. So people who take torches and go back and forth on a surface are fooling themselves. You have to torch it until it becomes very hot. It takes a while. And there are people that do it professionally, but it has to be done right. You could do it that way. You could get a big keli also. But these are the two simpler eitzes in the house. Mishnah Berura here writes a chumra, Hashem the Magen Avram, which is also brought in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov in the Pisrei Tshuva Simen Tzadik Beis, Katan Gimel. He says, 1 minute, if you have a pot that was in which treifus was cooked, this is a good eitzah. But if you have a pot which was belaya treifus on the outside. Let's say you have a fleishiger pat and you're cooking milk. Somebody had the shiloh a week or two ago, and they saw cheese. They were cooking spaghetti with melted cheese, macaroni ziti with baked ziti, and cooking chicken soup. And they look at the pat; it's got spritzes of cheese all over the side of the pat. So tipa shanafel olav bechutz. Mamish the case in halacha. So I told him that he has to kasha the kli. He has to kasha it, even though the shishim on the soup is mutter. The keli is aser. We learned the machlekes shach and taz. If we say it's that the taz holds that if something spritz on the outside and the shishim mamanafshach, if it goes in, it's batal b'shishim. The taz said if it didn't go in the first time, it's not going to go in next time either. The taz holds you don't have to kasher it if it's kenegat araitiv. But the shach was machmir. The shach said no. Maybe now it didn't go in. Next time it will go in, and we pass the shach and taz. We pass it to shach. So I told him he had to kasher it. Here, Zokta Mishtabura, building a gedanfa is not going to help. So when you build this gedanfa, you're kashering it on the inside, including the lip. That's good when the isser went in because you cooked something inside. When the isser came from the outside, says the Mishtabura, then this is not an etzer. That's what Mishtabura says. The suffix that we had is the Mishtabura mean the gedanfa etzer is not an etzer, but the second etzer is a good etzer. Because when you throw in the stone, it runs over and it kashes the outside. Or he means both eitzes are no good. From the Seder Advar and the Mishtabura, it sounds like he's going only on the Gedanfa Eitzah, on the Rim Eitzah. And it may be that for the second Eitzah, that it would be good. So I don't know. I don't know if Sack on the matter.
But that's, it runs over. It's not going to run over.
But it runs over. It doesn't touch every single spat. Doesn't touch every single spat. And I don't know. I don't know if you could be so.
You
could be model here for the time, but you need a keli that has the has a diameter. If it doesn't have diameter, it's not going to help. Right. Yeah. One of the differences between Hagala and Libun, in Hagala and Tefillah's keli, you have to tell the whole kli at once. Hagala, you can do Hagala on half a kli at a time. So that if you have another pot that you can put it in, put the trefa pot in halfway, it's good. But if it doesn't have the full diameter of the pot, it's not going to help you. You can turn it 100 times, you're not getting the middle. So if you have something that has the right diameter, just doesn't have the depth, then you could kasher in such a...
Are we trying to kasher just the lip or the outside of the lip?
We're trying... See, that's the thing. Mishnah Berurah says the gedanfa only helps for the lip. You don't need the outside. Kabbalah kapalta. Just like when you cooked, it got to the outside from the inside. When you kasher, it's going to pull in from the outside and the inside. So to Mishnah Berurah, that's only if it became also from the inside. If it became also from the outside, then you have to do a full
kasher. Why don't we assume pots run over?
So pots run over, I don't have a problem. You mean the gedanfa problem?
I'm saying when it's cooking.
Remember, the correct idea we go about the Rav Tashmishai. And Rav Tashmishai is not this, I guess. But should be once if you know it ran over, then it'll be a problem.
In the case where you had the cheese on the outside,
why wasn't the cheese on the outside? The shishim connected the spritzes. A couple of spritzes, and the shishim connected it. So soup was okay. The Taz says that you could. The Shah says that you can't. Well, again, the Taz says by a spritz that Mamanushach. If the spritz goes in, so it's Bachel Mashishim. If the spritz doesn't go in, so it's not going to go in next time either. That's the Taz says. Yeah. The Shach doesn't hold such a hanacha. Who knows? Maybe this time it didn't go in, and next time it will go in. Next, no, but we don't rely on the Rashba. Just because you usually use a Mashishim, that's the Rashba's heter. Maybe you won't use a Mashishim.
So what you said, you have to cool that. I remember when we discussed
it. You should cool it before you empty it.
Well,
you're the one who had the Shaila.
What? No, it's not an empty.
I don't remember.
Is the surface or the volume?
Surface is volume.
What?
The volume against the amount of cheese.
The amount of the pot, therefore the pot in general, if it's a sizable pot, to get shishim is like a major thing. No, you can't.
Not shishim against a spritz, remember? A spritz of cheese.
No, but let's say you have a 3-quart pot.
Right.
Well, what a 1-quart pot, which means you need 60 quarts around.
No. I meant is that the amount of cheese that hit the pot, it's a one quart pot, but what's in the pot is kosher. It's chicken soup. It's a regular kosher chicken soup. Cheese spritzed on the outside. So what's the din if cheese falls into chicken soup? If you have 60 times as much chicken soup as the small drip of cheese, then it's mutter.
Yeah, but when you're going to make a kol,
but then you don't need shishim. As long as any ben yai made on the shishim, it's all yalan.
We're assuming that when you put the hot keli, the rock, whatever, into the pot, it overflows uniformly.
Right, and it doesn't.
It doesn't. Okay, so that's a problem.
No, so it should be a problem, as somebody pointed out. So then the Mishnah Berurah's Chumash should apply to both.
Right.
Yeah, it just says Lashon is not mashma that way. I don't know. I'm not sure.
We're saying that if you put the rock in, if you take this pot on the side of it, right, and you take Chumash, a hot chime, straight off the pipe, so.
It starts bubbling.
You know,
take
it off, it's wasted.
Right.
And you have to pour out the
side. Iroi helps. If I have a cold fleshiger pat, and it becomes also from a spritz, so it only became also from an iroi. So then I could cash it with iroi. But if I have a pat of soup that's on the fire, it's a klirish and mamish, and something spritzed on it, then I can't cash it through iroi. Because the kashering through iroi doesn't help. It was belaya with the chaim of a kli rishon and mamish.
No.
Still iroi. Iroi is only belaya. They're not belaya.
Water running down the side of the pot.
Could you wait?
As long as
the atzeled is still iroi. Do you mean kashering? You mean?
Yeah.
So you should know that the kasher, the ikar din, is kabbalah kapalta. The ikar din is if 180 degree iser went on it, you can kasher with water that's 180 degrees. But the minig that's brought in all the paiskin is to kasher with reiskin, to have boiling water at the time you kasher, and to do it that way. And it's a light plug that you're going to measure 180 degrees, 179 degrees. So we always kasher with reiskin, with the malar resicha, meaning the bubbling. There is a shaila about kashering with steam.
On the wall of the pot on the outside,
that's considered
still
hagolah. On the wall of the pot on the outside, that's still klirishin, yeah. Because it's on the fire. If it would overflow off the fire, maybe it would be klirishin. Perhaps it would be klirishin, but on the fire, certainly. There's a contemporary shaila about kashering with steam, which is a difficult shaila because it's not found in earlier paiskim. The question is whether one could kasher by allowing steam to fall on a kli. The reason it's a shaila is because the steam is used in the industry to clean things, to clean pipes and the like. Steam is pressurized. Steam is rushed. Is they run pressurized steam through a kli? And the question is whether that's adequate to do it. So there are a couple of tshuvas on the topic. Rav Meisha, in the first Igros Meisha, Yerdeas in the Samach, essentially writes, if I'm summing it up right, now we don't know how Hagala works, we don't know how Blias work, we have a Kabbalah. Whatever we have a Kabbalah, we do. Whatever we don't have a Kabbalah, we don't do. And therefore he says that kashering with steam, we have no such Kabbalah, we don't kasher with steam, unless, and no matter what the temperature, unless, he says, the steam turns into water. If it's such a dense steam that when it goes on the keli, the surface is coated with hot water, then of course it's good. But otherwise, it's not good. Lomagnu from this tshuva, that when they have a steam kettle today, a steam kettle is water which is brought to a boil by steam. Steam brings it to a boil. That boiling water you can kasher with. Even though steam heated it, not fire, I don't know if there'd be any svar to be machalik, but we see Ramesha writes that if the steam turns into water, that's good. It's better. The steam is heating up water, and it's certainly good. However, there is a case where Rabbanim today are makel on steam, and that's in the following case. Where a blia went in through steam, we're makel to allow a blia to go out through steam. This is a common shaila with microwaves. People who have a microwave oven at home, and somebody put in milchiks into a fleshiga microwave, and now they have a shaila on how to kasher it. Microwave walls are typically plastic, and we don't kasher plastic for Pesach, but all year round we do. So the minhag is to put in a cup of water and have the water boil to a point where it fills the chamber with steam. As long as it's clean, we rely on cleaning the plastic, on kashering the plastic with steam. Even though Rabbi Shah says not to, the tshuva is talking where it was belayah through water, that's going to be maflit through steam.
But where it's Beileya through steam, so we have our old rule of Kabbalah Kapaltai, and Ikaradin is if it went in with 170 degree heat, you can kash with 170 degree heat. So if it went in through with steam, so you should be able to kash it with steam. And that is the minhag the Rabbanim is to be Mekel. I don't know, all circles, but whatever I heard, wherever I had Shemush, that's the custom. Yeah, that's right. It could be hot. And Afal PK, and he says, we don't know. He says, look, he says, Libun doesn't work unless it's 750. So Libun of 500 degrees or 400 degrees doesn't work. So who says that steam is better than that?
No, that's destroying it.
Just okay, machalic. So why don't we say, all right, I mean, maybe the Libun is not maflit, maybe steam is also not maflit. Maybe the water could be maflit.
Libun cow, we say, is like our goal.
Libun Kal, all right, but it's still 550 is Libun Kal, 500
with that. So the Makar at the school,
that hasn't been using, which was like, is the Kama? I think the Minigas to be Makal, yeah. Sif Gimel, a hot Sif. Dinei Hagola, Valibun, Halei Heg, Suvin, Bilchis Pesach. A nice Sif. Now, if we did it properly, it would take us 2 months because you would turn Tilchis Pesach and go through it. But, instead, I would like to look at the Be'er Heitev Gimel. I have a raya from the Be'er Heitev that there was never an assumption that someone was going to turn to Hilchus Pesach. Because the Be'er Heitev brings something from Hilchus Pesach, he's assuming you're not going to see it. Be'er Heitev Gimel, in the parentheses at the end, he brings what's a pretty famous Magen Avraham. Barachayim Simetuf Kuvtesif Hei Kasa Magen Avraham. Do Ha'ilam Nagu Iser Lahago Klibasa L'cholav Ayibcha. The Olam is Noyig Yisr, to Knasha Fleishiks to Melechiks, or Melechiks to Fleishiks. If Atam Kosim B'Shem Agon Rabbeinu Bin Yamin B'Puzna, that person's going to lose track. Melechiks, Fleishiks, Fleishiks, Melechiks, it's going to lose track. Good, right. So there are, now first of all, the Archa Shulchan rails against this Magen Avraham. He says, where's the Magen Avraham coming and making new chumris that Chazal didn't say? Chazal talk about kashering. And where do you come with a new minig? Natu. And this is a pretty famous Archa Shulchan. There are many Rabbanim who go with it. I don't understand why. It's a Beferish Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it. All the place can bring it. The Archa Shulchan Taka argues, but Lamaisa, there is such a minig brought in all the Paiskim, and the minig goes back hundreds of years. And therefore, it would seem to be a proper minig, this Magen Avraham, and he doesn't need my Askama. However, there are four or five coolest in this Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says a minig not to kasher. So there are, as I said, four or five kulas. One kula is in the Chassam Sefer. Excuse me? Right. Because you'll lose track. You're going to. Well, it's the flesh, right? You lose track. The Chassam Sefer has a tshuva in Yeredeya Kuf Yud. You see also the Chassam Sefer holds in this minig. He says that once you're kashering it for Pesach, you could switch it from Melchiks to Fleishiks. You have a heter to kasher it anyway, and since you have a heter to kasher it, so once it's kashered, it's kashered. So now it's not Melchiks, it's not Fleishiks. You could do it. So there's a Prima Gadim says the same thing if it became treif. Because says if it became treif, so weiter, once you're kashering it anyway, kashering it from treif, so... So Rav Heidemann writes in the Kosher Currents that if you really need an Eitzah, make a treif, and then you can kasher it to both. All right, it's an Eitzah. Don't make a bas mechalav, okay. Once you made a bas mechalav, you could. So those are two coolies. There are a couple of others. The Yad Yehuda says you can kasher to Pariv. Now this is a common thing where people have parav akelim and it became milachik. A parav akelim, it became fleishik. So they called the Rav. They say, what do I do? I have a parav akelim. It became milachik. Should I leave it in milachik? So the Yad Yehuda says, the minig is not to go from milachik to fleishik, fleishik to milachik, because you'll forget, then you'll do an issum. But to go from milachik to pariv, or fleishik to pariv, he says that a person could do hagala. No, you don't do it to steps. He says, if you really have a parav akelim, so he says you could. The Masham also has a tshuva.
Then you accidentally use it for fleishik.
What? Why do you have to kasher at all? Because you're going to make. If you remember, the question is: it's Eidah Ben Yaimai. Use it for parav. We had a machlekes to grow in the Chochmas Adam. If in the dinam of Naparnat, if you're allowed, we said by naparnat, you're not allowed l'chatchila to cook a par of a food in a fleishig apat to use for milachiks. So there, the chachmasadim said, even ein ben yaimai. You're not allowed to cook spaghetti in a milchik ein ben yaimai with a plan to eat it with fleishigs. Okay? No, that's a chachmasadim's chumra. The gra seemed to be mekel. The gra said that anything that's b'di'evet mutter by a ben yaimai is mutter l'chatchil ben yaimai. Very mistaken. Gra's nimaskam. I'd rather agree with you. Naparnat, which the whole iser is only l'chatchil iser. I think a person who wants can be samech on the gra. You can always be samech on the gra, but certainly in such a case, you have what to rely on. But look, if you're going to do it all the time, so you might as well kasher it and avoid Shabbos. There's one more exception. I mentioned Pesach is an exception, Treif is an exception, Parav is an exception, and Libun. The Shara Melech writes, and there's a tshuva also in the Rugas HaBaisen, they write that by Libun, you can go from Melechiks to Fleishiks. That's Negea to a self-cleaning oven. Someone wants to self-clean an oven, Melechiks to Fleishiks, Fleishiks to Melechiks. So they say Libun is Mutter. Their logic is the following. It's really a logic that Ramosha writes in the tshuva. Chazal were not Geyser Isser if there's zero Isser. They were Geyser Isser, Ramosha writes, with a Ktsas Isser anyway. For example, Ramosha writes about the Svar of the Chacham Tzvi, that after a year, things are Mutter. So Ramosha says, what's Pshat in the Chacham Tzvi? Eine ben yayme, they were Geyser, you're going to make a mistake. Eine ben yayme, otter ben yayme. So after a year, you'll make a mistake after the year, before the year. So Ramosha writes, the Chacham Tzvi held that there's zero Blias. If there's nothing left at all, Chazal didn't make a Zeris. There's a ktsas bliya, bliya paguma, Chazal made gezeiros. There's such a rule which Granda Rabbi Chanan and Kavitz Aris writes in a different context. So that Libun, which destroys totally, he says, Chazal weren't guys, and there's nothing left. Hagola, which takes out, it's still a mashu of treifus, it's less than shishim, whatever it is, at Tam Kolosh. So they were guys of Binyamin and Binyamin. But Libun, they were not guys. Granda, but he's talking about Libun Gomer. The grada, by an oven, there are many that are makel for a different reason, because kalim, the minig is by kalim. Kalim, it's easy, you buy more kalim. Ovens, all right, today many people have two ovens, but someone who has one oven, you're going to tell them, get a second oven. Why get a second oven? Especially if he's a tenant in an apartment, he's going to start putting in a second oven. So it's a hassle to put in a second oven. It's not such an easy thing to switch back and forth. So the question is, if this minig applies to kalim, which are easy to handle, or even to things that are not easy to switch back and forth. And for that reason, really primarily for the Libun reason, but there's a second reason to be mekel. So we have four kulas that a person can be mekel. And the agrad is a machlaik, it's about a fifth kula. If you buy a kli, you're getting it for the first time, you buy a used kli from a firm person. He had it milchik, so you want to use it for fleishiks. You inherited silverware from grandma, and you already have fleishik of silverware. You want to use grandma's for milchiks. So the question is, when it goes to a new owner, whether a person could be makel. The Dr. Tshuva brings Chalukei Deis on this. If you could go back and forth.
If it's nicker, for instance, you have this that used it for flesh, it was, but it's like a certain color. Everything in the color, everything is milk. So then you're not going to make a mistake going back and forth. It's going to be, now you're going to make a flesh.
That's if you go back and forth once. What happens if you go back and forth twice? It depends how many times you're going to go back and forth. If we allow kashering, what you're saying is, if you make a simin, maybe it's better. So that's really, it's an old question. Let's say the Agzeris to Rabbanon, and you make your own simin. Let's say in a mavui, you have to have a lechi. Because the Bandiyama says, Lechi Mishum Hekeira. You should know what this is. So I'm not going to put a Lechi, I'll put a big stop sign, a red flashing light. So it seems that's not good. Chazal made Gezeris. Now, I'm not really answering. I'm answering on Gezeris. Here it's a minig. Minhagim, it's a little hard to know when we say you can find your own Eitz, or when you say you can't find your own Eitz. It's certainly not simple. But. What?
Bechor wearing a little badge.
When you paida bechor. But then there was no gezeira. It's a siyag. We said if you paida cotton the bechor, he has to have a simon. He shouldn't, when he gets older, do a second pidyon about it.
Why should yeah. Par be better than
because b'diavad. What's going to happen b'diavad? Nothing.
Oh,
Worse comes to worse, I'll cook a nap or not. Now, it's not good l'chatchila to cook spaghetti and mix it with meat, but b'di'evet, you cook spaghetti, even a ben yoyim, if it already got mixed with meat, it's not treif. So since b'di'evet, there's no problem, so the minig, we're not
matter. When you're long, an oven switching back and forth, do you think collars enough for that?
It depends if it's cheres or if it's metal. If it's cheres, it's not good enough. Again, there are those who are meikel. The Sira Baron was meikel, but they can't explain it. There's no difference. If it's cheres, it's cheres. Shavuos, the Mishnah Berurah says not to be mechalik between Pesach and Shavuos in Halachas Abasa Mechalav. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So all the din of Basarav apply Shavuos as well. That's not Mokuladik. So I assume that applies here as well. Now, Chag HaShavuos, there are certain things. There's one area where we seem to be more mekel on Shavuos, but the minig is not. It's a separate discussion. Okay, let's get to Sif Dalek. Machva shemitagnim ba, afal pi shalinya chametz bePesach dailo b'hagol and yishari surim sricha liva. Now here we have. Next week we're going to learn Shaches. Shaches is very important. The whole Kuf Chaf Aleph breaks little new ground in Hilchas Hagala. Shaches does, but before we can get to Shaches, we have to discuss the concept of Libun. So listen carefully because it's a little complicated, but the rule is not a Machlokes rule. It's a straight rule. It's just people get confused. There is something called Libun Gomor, and something called Libun Kal. Libun Kal is a heat at which kash nisraf olav mibuchutz. If you would heat a metal, a pot, you would put fire into the pot. If you would touch kash or a tissue to the outside, it would catch fire. It would be burnt. I don't know if it has to develop a flame or just turn singe. But that's the heat on which paper or cash burns spontaneously, which is, what is it, 412, I think? Well, what temperature does it burn spontaneously? 451. There was a book, right? 451 Fahrenheit. So that's about 450 is the temperature that's called Libun Kal. I didn't tell you what Libun Kal is for. Wait one second. That's Libun Kal. Libun Kal you can achieve in most ovens, because most ovens, even not self-cleaning ovens, have a 450 degree temperature, and they have broil, which is not much hotter, but slightly hotter. Then there's Libun Gomor. Libun Gomor is a heat at which iron would turn red hot. Our metal is tempered steel. It's not a rye from our metal. But if you take a piece of cast iron, of plain metal, it would turn red hot at that heat. The assumption today is that at 750 degrees, that's adequate for a Libun Gomor. Now, I'd only defined the two terms. I didn't say when you need what. When we say you need Libun, it's Libun Gomor. When we say you have to kasha something through Libun, that's Libun Gomor. Libun Kal is good b'mokim hagola. Something that needs hagola, you could do Libun Kal. So that somebody who has a very big pot, and he tells me he doesn't have a big pot to immerse it in, so you have an eitzah set of gedanfa, of a hot stone. There's a third eitzah. You could do Libun Kal. Take the pot, put it in the oven, turn the oven up to 450 degrees, and do a Libun Kal on it. If it only needs Hagala, you could do Libun Kal. Now, farberware, when it's put in, changes color slightly when you do Libun Kal. When we bought our farberware, we did Libun Kal on all the farberware because the nerves, you know, there are stories about the fact that they polish it with treifus, and so, you know, just for my nerves, we stick it into the oven and we do Libun Kal. It changes what? You should take off the plastic candles before, yeah. And you kasher it that way. It turns color a bit. I don't think it looks bad, but if you do it to one and not the other, and you put them next to each other, it looks, it gets more of a, less of a silvery color, and more of a bronzy, like a copper color.
You got the bronze set.
Yeah, so at any rate, but the rule, don't let it get sidetracked. Libun Kal is good for things that need Hagala. Libun Chomer is, or Libun Gomer or Chomer, same thing, is when you need Libun. When do you need Libun? The rule. And we'll have exceptions to the rule next week. The rule is, something that goes in through Emtsoas HaMayim, a blia that goes in through water. You're cooking a chicken soup, and the chicken was treif. The blia goes in through Emtsoas HaMayim. When it goes in through Mayim, it comes out through Mayim. Water doesn't boil more than a certain temperature. It boils to 212. And that's it. And when it goes in through Mayim, through Hagala, it comes out through Hagala. However, if you were to have a spit, and you have a rotisserie, and you put in a chicken, and it's cooking, or you have a grill, a barbecue grill, and you find out that the chicken was treif, that needs libun gomor. There, it went in without an emtsoas hamayim, it went in without water in between, and when it went in without an emtsoas hamayim, then you need a libun gomor. So that is the simple, basic rule of thumb. Kibayla kapaltai. Libun, if it went in without water, it goes out through water. If it went in with water in a klirishin, it goes out through water klirishin. If it went in with iri klirishin, like a countertop, which only went in because water was poured on it, treifus was poured on it, then it goes out with iri klirishin. It goes out because by pouring hot water on it. That's the concept, the idea of Kabbalah Kapaltai. There's one difference in the Kabbalah Kapaltai between Libun and Hagala, and that's the following. By Hagala, the Ikar Adin is that if it went in through 180 degree heat water, it goes out through 180 degree water. We're noyig that we always kasha with water that's bubbling. But the Ikar HaHalacha is whatever temperature of water it came out, it went in with, it comes out with. Libun is not so. Libun, Ramesh explains in the Tshuva in Yeradeh, he says, you're not going to find anywhere. Moshe says, I can find anywhere and anywhere. He brings Maram HaKaimis that by Hagola, the Ikar HaDin is whatever water goes in, it comes out. By Libun, there's no such thing. People tell me that it became treif in the oven at 300 degrees, so I'll turn up the oven to 300, Kabbalah Kapalta. No, that's a mistake in the Taich of Libun. There is no Plita by Libun. By Hagola, the Blia went in, the Blia is Nifla. By Libun, there's no Kibayla Kapolta, there's no Pelta. It doesn't extract anything. It destroys the Blias that are there. In order to destroy the Blias that are there, you need a Libun. Now that means that if you have an oven, and the oven was Belea Trafis, and you want to do a Libun, if it was Belea Trafis, for argument's sake, through a case that needs Libun Gomor, whatever the case may be, that it's not enough to turn it to broil and say Kabbalah Kapaltai, the same heat that it went in, it'll come out. Why Kabbalah Kapaltai? By Libun, if you need Libun Gomor, you need Libun Gomor. And a regular oven, even on broil for many hours, does not hit Libun Gomor. You need a self-cleaning oven or charcoals to put inside in order to hit Libun Gomor. So this is the basic rule. Now we will learn next week two exceptions, two great coolists, if I could say so, where you would think you need Libun Gomor and it's enough Hagola. So I'll keep you in suspense. We're going to get to the Shach, Sukkot and Ches, and Yitzhak Shem.